Casey Davis said, hyperfocus is not just something that's cute, like, oh, you've been knitting all day. Hyperfocus can take you away from the necessary parts of living life. This is once again why ADHD can be considered a disability.
Hey yo, busy brain. Welcome to my podcast. I am Camden Hainsworth, ADHD advocate, coach, and member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Understanding my own ADHD diagnosis completely changed the course of my life for the better. Now it is my mission and joy to provide you with the tools to do the same. Join me weekly. Let's create real results that work with your neurodivergence and reflect a confident life of self-acceptance, growth, and satisfaction. Welcome to the Busy Brain Saint podcast. Let's get growing.
Hello, you made it. I'm so happy that you are here. My brain is busy and my heart is full. Today's episode is titled The Paradox of Hyperfocus. This past weekend was our church's general conference. It's when we receive instruction from the leaders of the church. We take that as revelation from God and kind of add it to our scripture. It's what a lot of the talks and the sermons are actually given off of throughout the year. And it's a very exciting time. It's also when we talk about new news of the church or any new announcements or temples or things that are announced. That's when we usually find out about it. Sometimes they'll do it in between, but it is. So it happens twice a year. There's five sessions usually, and each session is 2 hours. So that's 10 active hours of listening, looking at a screen. Sometimes if you live here in Utah or you travel, you can go to the conference center that's packed. It's a beautiful place. But most of the time we're just sitting and listening. And Grace Freeman posted something on This Is Kingdom. That was the social media account of how she, as a help and a tradition for preparing for conference, goes and buys a new Lego set. And she talked about how doing the Lego set actually helped her focus on the words that the prophets were saying. I thought that was so adorable and perfect. And I would love to have her and David Butler on this podcast. They're both busy brains. I think that we'd have a lot to talk about. But the funnier part was the person next to her was in just utter shock, like, really? Doing Legos helps you focus more? I'm like, yeah. Anyone listening to this podcast would probably understand that to a degree as well. And throughout my conference years of watching conference, participating in conference, that has totally changed. I used to be a note taker. I think it was very much out of like duty. I didn't often go back and look at the notes, but it was like, I want to be an active listener, and that's what I was taught. I was not diagnosed with ADHD, so I didn't really understand why that was good, but it was just fine. When I had young kids, I had to reframe my expectation of what conference was going to look like in big ways. It was so overstimulating to be having three toddlers running around all over the place. I didn't need to do anything else. I just really honestly tried to get and squeeze out as much as I could from conference during that time, and that was fine. There's nothing wrong with the way that I engaged. And now I feel like my older three are independent enough that my husband and I can refocus again, with the exception of our two-year-old that we both kind of 2v1 with her. And thankfully, her nap time is during the afternoon sessions. So regardless, I bring all of that up because she inspired me with this Lego set idea that, hey, maybe there is something that I can do. There's something I can work on so that I can actually get a lot out of conference. And I did. I chose to, for lack of better words, revamp my daughter's bedding. She has that zipper bedding, and the sheets were really dirty. And instead of buying a whole new set that's like $250, I was like, you know, I'm going to go buy $25 sheets at Walmart and I'm going to sew them onto this. And then I'm going to kind of patch the pieces that may be in pretty bad shape. And in the end, it ended up working. It's not perfect, but it's definitely nice and new and cozy and fits her bed well. And it was because of that suggestion of the Legos that I thought, okay, during conference, I'm going to do this. So one of the points here is that is completely separate, maybe not completely, but kind of separate to hyperfocus, is just that we need to have a certain level of stimulation. If we are understimulated when we are watching something or actively listening to something, then our brain is going to doze off or it's going to go to sleep. If we are overstimulated, the same thing happens and we have to escape. We have to leave. And so knowing what our brain needs in order to focus best or to listen best is really, really helpful. For Grace Freeman, it was a Lego set. For me this time, it was working on this blanket. And both were very, they get an A+ for helping me listen to all the sessions of conference. It's the first time I've been able to listen to all of them, minus like, I don't know, a couple talks in the Saturday afternoon session, which we went and took a family bike ride in the snow. That is for a different time. It's for a different podcast. But today we're talking about the duality or the paradox of hyperfocus and how while it was completely insane, like absolutely amazing, I was able to spend 25 hours completing this blanket. Mind you, I did not think it was going to take that long. But the fact that I was able to tap into my hyperfocus, into my ADHD in order to get this done in this occasion was really awesome. Whereas other people that probably didn't have that hyperfocus, they would have like peaced out after 4 or 5 hours, or like a normal human, they would have spread it out over the next 3 weeks. For me, that was not going to happen because I did not want to have that nagging on my brain. I also just needed this to be done. And so I knew that I had the capacity to flip into hyperfocus mode. And so I did. And unfortunately, it was 25 hours, but it got done. So where is the paradox in this? Oftentimes when you hear about people with ADHD saying that it's a superpower, it's because of this aspect of hyperfocus. My husband, who saw me working on all of this, could probably say that was superhuman. Like, you shouldn't have been able to do all of that in that amount of time. He's seen me do this as I've built things in our home, as I've worked on projects, as I've built websites, etc. He's seen me really just buckle down and get the thing done in a very short period of time, in a very good way, high quality, okay? And that is not how his brain works. His brain will poop out, like it will tire out. There's no capacity for that. And so that is a massive difference between he and I both. He needs more of a break. He needs to spread things out over time. And the beautiful thing of that is that he is actually a great planner because he has a brain that sets himself up for success for planning. When we combine procrastination and hyperfocus, you get like 99% of us busy brain ADHDers out there. The reason why hyperfocus comes into such good play is often because we're feeling the urgency of a time stamp in procrastination. Not always, but a lot of the time. So, hyperfocus, by definition, is a state of intense concentration or focus on an activity or task, often to the exclusion of everything else. While it might seem like a superpower, it can also be a double-edged sword, especially for those of us with ADHD. So, what is hyperfocus? How does it differ from regular focus? Okay. Regular focus would be, let's go ahead and talk about this blanket, would be looking at the blanket and saying, oh, I think I'm going to try and adjust this. And after an hour or so, we make some progress and we say, okay, that's pretty good. I'll put it to the side and go on to something else, or, you know, I'll put this into my planner and I'll come back to it. And then very easily, you're able to hop back into that activity, get all the sewing stuff out, get all the scissors out and the pins out. And it's just like butter, like going from one thing to the other, right? A hyperfocus does not leave room for that much flexibility. The hyperfocus is the only thing you can think of is getting that thing done. And your brain like turns into hyper gear. I have learned to develop awareness, which we'll talk about later. But before, I would lose complete track of time. I would lose complete track of hunger cues or needing to use the restroom. I would push anything else except for like my kids dying, right? Or like having a poopy diaper or something. Everything else would be pushed to the side. It wasn't even that it didn't take priority. It just wasn't even on the priority list. Often appointments that you know about, you completely space. You don't remember anything on your schedule. It is a time warp. It is the Twilight Zone. when you are in hyperfocus. And I would say, and maybe add to that, that this is a unaware hyperfocus. So this is what I would feel when I didn't know I had ADHD and it just felt so good. I guess I didn't quite say that. Being in that hyperfocus in that twilight zone is euphoric, too strong of a word. It feels so rewarding. It feels so good. It feels like, I want to say addicting, but these are probably too strong of words. So whatever a step down from euphoric and addicting is, that's what it is. It just draws you in and you can't leave. Summertime and the living's easy. Or you hope it will be. During the spring and the summer, I am extending my one-on-one coaching package to 12 sessions, not just over 4 months, but over 5 months. In addition to that, I support you through the Marco Polo app. Marco Polo is a recording app where you can, and I will respond back in a video. It is literally a coach in your back pocket. So with the flexibility and the needs of summer, with the coming and going, the vacations, the kids here and there, I want to be able to support you and your ADHD brain during this really important time. Not only that, but if you sign up now with me for this 5 month for the price of 4 coaching package, you're going to have support from an ADHD coach, from myself, with the transition from school to summer, with all of the planning for summer, and then the transition again back from summer to back to school. That is like the greatest gift I could give you, if I'm being honest. I know I'm a fan because I created it. I thought it was genius, but this is where people have needed help from me in the past. This is where I've needed my own ADHD coach in the past. And it makes complete sense for you to start now in the spring, to be supported into the transition of summer, to be supported throughout the summer with all the ups and downs and the emotional regulation and the planning and the family and all the things, as well as getting back into systems as the new school year is starting. So I hope that you book your free discovery call with me so we can talk this out. I already have a really good feeling that if you've been listening to this podcast, we'd be a great fit. And I cannot wait to meet you. I can't wait to hear about your goals. And let's get on top of your ADHD brain right now. Hope to see you soon. Back to the show. It's like a suck hole. It just sucks you in. And that's where it can become that double-edged sword. So on one hand, you're getting tons of stuff done really well, really fast, sustaining intense attention for extended periods of time. And on the other hand, you're neglecting everything else in your life as though that's even partly okay. I guess there may be some people that works out okay with. But for most of us, we usually have multiple responsibilities. Many people start when they get diagnosed with ADHD, they start to fear their hyperfocus. They start to fear doing things they love because they don't want to get sucked into hyperfocus and then neglect their other responsibilities. And that's relatable. It's completely okay. Like, what's not okay. It's completely to be expected for them to have that fear because we have seen the impact of what happens in hyperfocus, not knowing how to increase that awareness or how to tolerate the discomfort of saying no, once you're in hyperfocus, that can be really scary. So the role of dopamine in this, is pretty high. So what's happening is that dopamine is pumping through your body, like into your brain. This, at least, is how I understand it. And for once, while my brain often feels like a ship dragging on the bottoming out on the ocean floor, barely getting by, it's like finally that ship has risen, the anchor is up, and we are smooth sailing through the most calm and beautiful ocean waters, and nothing's in our way. It just feels euphoric. I keep going back to that. It feels gliding and sliding and easy, and feels so much different than how we operate in our normal life. And the role of dopamine is really big in that, because if the water, ocean level water, let's say, represented dopamine, and my dopamine levels were normally at a particular level, that caused that ship to be bottoming out on the ocean floor, and that's how I moved through life. With the increase of that dopamine, you can imagine as those waves and that water level increased, how exciting and lovely it must feel. And a lot of the time when we exit hyperfocus, we don't ever know what it's going to look like when we come back. Most of the time, we will find ourselves on the bottom of the ocean floor again when we come back to that project. And so that's why so many of us continue to pursue what we want as a goal, because we can't trust ourselves to come back to our brain, come back to that project, and still have the same amount of dopamine. Whereas a neurotypical, like my husband, where he's like, okay, I'm going to work on this for an hour, I'm going to put it away, I'll get it back out in a couple of days, I'll work on it for another hour or so, he's probably floating, not dragging the bottom of the ship on the ocean floor. Most days, he is in a very safe zone of sailing through life, through smooth, crisp waters. It might not be as long, you know, like he might have an hour or two of sailing in the ocean until he hits a shoreline, but it's consistent. It shows up consistent. It consistently gives him an hour or two. And we don't have that with ADHD. Medication helps us make it a little bit more consistent, as well as nutrition, as well as sleep. It helps us be able to show up a little bit more consistently biologically in our life, but it's still not perfect. That's why we have coaching, is to know how to regulate ourselves and know how to deal with ourselves and how to advocate for ourselves in the inconsistencies of waking up with a brain that most days the ship is on the ocean floor, sometimes a little bit higher, sometimes there's like mountains in the ocean, and so we're hitting different things. I guess I can stop with the analogy. But that is why hyperfocus is so delicious for us with ADHD, is because we don't get it very often. We don't get to feel that smooth sailing type of feeling that so many neurotypicals get to do when they say, oh, I just need to focus in and get this thing done. It's not a thing. Obviously, positive attributes are productivity, our creativity. Many people in the film industry, many artists, many musicians, many creatives will learn how to, you know, block off multiple days in a row for hyperfocus, allowing themselves to neglect or to intentionally put off any other responsibilities so that they can cater to their hyperfocus brain. And there are certain creators right now, and I think I brought this up on the last episode, certain creators right now who really talk about the power of hyperfocus. And it's because they have the privilege of being able to use that. Now, most people that I work with, they work a 9-to-5, or they're stay-at-home moms, or they're work-from-home moms, or work-from-home parents. They have particular structures that they have to live in, constraints, if you will. And so blocking off 3 or 4 days, 2 or 3 times a month in order to put themselves in the hyperfocus just is not a privilege that they have for creating, for getting their job done. And it just isn't very conducive when you're trying to work with many, many different kinds of people and different responsibilities. I'm not saying it can't be done, but I am saying that it is probably a privilege that many workplaces as well as life situations are not very conducive with. Okay. So despite its benefits, hyperfocus can also be a symptom of ADHD that leads to challenges in time management, shifting attention, and completing tasks that are not of immediate interest. As great as it sounds to be able to hyperfocus, it's often not something that we choose. It's not like something we can just say, oh, we need to weed the garden, I'm going to all of a sudden hop into my hyperfocus. This doesn't work unless like you are a gardener and that's your passion, right? And even then, sometimes those menial tasks just aren't ever going to trigger a hyperfocus. Taxes. I'm not going to, you know, hyperfocus on my taxes if that is not something that has my interest. Usually hyperfocuses are things that we are genuinely already interested in. And that can become a problem because life requires a lot more of us than just the things that we love to do. Casey Davis is one of my favorite creators, content creators on social media. She is a therapist. She has two kids and she also has ADHD. And so she talks a lot about what it's like to live as an adult with ADHD. And her latest post was so timely. I found it last night as I was actually editing this podcast, and I knew that I'd have to talk about it. For copyright infringement issues, I am not going to put it in the podcast, but I will link the video in my show notes. So essentially, she talks about how she has been really into fantasy novels and that it was starting to, she started out by reading them with good intent, but soon enough, she started to be sucked into reading these fantasy novels to a point where it was, you know, 78 unread texts, tens and tens and tens and tens. I can't remember if it was how many it was, but lots of emails that were unanswered. She mentions in there that she doesn't have any clean laundry. She mentions a number of different things that this has really just taken over her life. And she said just about the time when she was starting to talk extremely negative to herself, how pathetic she was, using her words, that she was succumbing essentially to these novels, she got a phone call from the pharmacist reminding her, telling her that her Vyvanse, which is her ADHD medication, was in stock. And she said that she was reminded for the 900th time, in her words, that she has a disability, because when she took Vyvanse, all of a sudden she could answer her texts, she could answer her emails, she could start to function in her life. And I love the part in this video when she says, hyperfocus is not just something that's cute, like, oh, you've been knitting all day. Hyperfocus can truly take you away from the necessary parts of living life. And this is once again why ADHD can be considered a disability. She talked about how it was easy to say no to the book. She said, it's not that I'm not excited to get back to the book, but she said it was easy to say no because I had the right kind of balance in my body when I took my ADHD medication to help me do my text messages and do my emails and take care of myself in the way that a human deserves to be taken care of. And I thought that that was so timely, so helpful, and I hope that you go watch it. There is one curse word in it, just as a heads up for if you have little kids around. And yet it just drove home everything that we're talking about here. I'm going to be talking about creating awareness in your body. In addition to awareness, some of us will truly need ADHD medication or other outsourcing to help us get out of that rut because it is extremely powerful. I also wanted to add from a personal note, Casey's TED Talk is phenomenal. And knowing a little bit about her background, she did go to rehab, I think as a teenager or maybe early 20s, for substance abuse. And it's so interesting that even before I saw this particular post that she made, that the words that were coming to me about hyperfocus were addiction and euphoria. It just feels so addictive to want to be there. So for those of us who have addiction in our biology or tend to have addictive personalities, watch out for hyperfocus. Also, like I mentioned before, time blindness becomes a problem. It's difficult to gauge the passing of time when you're in hyperfocus. And as I've already kind of alluded to, this can really have an impact on your relationships. Thinking about this past weekend with my husband, I want to maybe highlight how becoming self-aware to me entering a hyperfocus was treated in our relationship. While I was working on the quilt upstairs, I was mindful of my children and my husband downstairs. I was taking into account if they were fighting, if they were getting anxious, if they were getting hungry. All the while, I know my husband and I are equal partners, so he can help with any of that. But I also know that because I was in hyperfocus, my normal senses were not as attuned as they may have been otherwise. I also communicated with my husband. I said, this is really important to me that I get it done this weekend, no matter what. And I did. And he understood that it was for a common goal for our family so that we didn't have to spend $200+, as well as it was like a first step to helping my kids change their bedrooms. We're trying to reconfigure where people are sleeping in our house. And that is a whole, that is a whole thing. And so he was on board for me hyper-focusing on this to save us some money and also to help the ball roll forward. There came a particular time when he said, okay, how can I help? And I was like, all right, this is what I have prepared for dinner. If you could start dinner, I'm going to keep going on this. I probably have another 20 minutes left on that particular part. And then we can do something as a family. And we did end up spontaneously going on that bike ride in the snow. And it was with a lot of kicking and screaming, but we did it. And I'm glad that we did. But that is how it sounded. It wasn't just me completely zoning out. There was communication. You know, one of the sessions of conference, I think it was Sunday morning, all my kids went down and listened, and I had some brain flakes, these little toys set up. They're kind of like Legos for them down there. And I said, hey, it sounds like everything's going okay down there. You guys all right if I still keep working while I'm listening to conference upstairs? So there was this constant checking in. I have alarms on my phone and on my watch that say, eat. You need to go eat lunch. And so while I didn't follow them right away, I did set up once again some other systems to help me make sure that I ate in that day. I would not say that I did this perfectly, but I was fully aware. I can recognize the feeling of hyperfocus. I can notice the negative impact it potentially could have on my home and have on my kids. And I very rarely these days will now hyperfocus on anything that isn't, it benefits our full family. Otherwise it's just not worth it to me. And, there will be times for that at a different part of my life. But for me right now, that's not how I operate. So how do we manage it? How do you get to a point where you can have that awareness? There are time management techniques like using task lists, timers, time blocking. But as you guys know, that's not the number one thing that helped me. The number one thing for me is using the steer map, is recognizing my emotions and honoring the emotions that are in my body, becoming self-aware of how I'm feeling, and then asking myself, what is causing this emotion? Do I want to continue in this emotion? Where is this emotion most likely going to lead me? And when I ask myself those questions, then I can also understand what I actually need. So while the timers, once again, with like, for example, eating lunch, while that was helpful for me, the more helpful tool was understanding, whoa, I have entered hyperfocus. I recognize this. I fully am not in denial about this. And where I know it's going to lead me, do I want to go there? So you can have external accountability like I did as well with my husband when we were talking things out. When I said, okay, if you need me, please come let me know. This is where I'm at. And him just understanding as well that if I wanted to get this done, I was going to need to like pedal to the metal, keep the blinders on my eyes and keep going with it. And he's learned that about me. So lots of those things can be helpful. Okay. So it's not like really helpful to look at hyperfocus as either negative or positive. I think we can create a healthy approach to hyperfocus as a symptom that will continue to come up because of ADHD. And I think that it's important to see how can I use this as a strength and what needs to be adjusted in order for it to be a healthy part of how I operate. The correct environment, a healthy environment, workspace, I think is something that you can consider. For example, with this blanket, I was taking up the whole kitchen table, as well as during the day, I was taking up the kitchen table and the living room. But I was only doing it for one day, and I was able to set up other environments for my family so that they could eat at the counter, a different counter in our house. There were still other rooms and places where they could sprawl out and be comfortable. And even if that wasn't the case, were we as a family willing to deal with that for 2 days maximum? If this project would have gone and gone and gone and gone without those circumstances changing, I know that my husband would be annoyed, and honestly, I'd probably be annoyed as well. So the right physical environment. Goal setting and prioritization. We need to make our hyper-focus meaningful, and we need to be making choices that are from a very intentional perspective. That sounds boring and responsible, and yet so many times when I'm coaching people, they are coming to me because they're feeling intense remorse, regret, shame, guilt, embarrassment, because they were unable to choose correctly or aligned with their values ahead of time. And so now we're having to work on things that have happened in the recent past to help them make sense of them. And most of the time, these are not life and death situations. These are not situations of intense neglect. But just like I mentioned, when they don't align with who you are, when they aren't meaningful and truly important, and you're being bossed around by your brain and you feel like you just can't get away, like that addiction feeling, then this is not a nice way to approach hyperfocus, because you are not in charge. And we want to make sure that you have autonomy. You are in charge of your life. So whether it's building a deck, building a bookcase, recreating a quilt for your kids, whether it's training for a marathon, whether you are finishing a novel, whatever your hyper-focus might be, most importantly is increasing that awareness that this is a trap that we can fall into, recognizing that it does have impact on other people. And while it may feel like you're going to die, to stop or to halt the hyper-focus because it's not aligning with your goals, that you really aren't going to die. And in fact, you're going to be more than okay most of the time. All of the time. I'm just thinking of, like, when have I ever entered into a hyper-focus that was like life or death? Not one is coming to mind right now. I don't think that we call that hyper-focus. We call that like survival mode. And we don't want to be living in survival mode, but we have it when push comes to shove. Most of the time, this is because it feels good. It's so rewarding. It feels juicy and easy and free flow in our body. But a lot of the time, even with how good that feels, it doesn't always align with what we want in the end. It is a paradox. It is a two-edged sword. There are different ways that we can go about doing this. Most importantly is learning your exit strategy, is increasing that awareness so that you can feel when you're about to enter or when you have entered, and remembering to say, okay, this is where I am. This is probably where I'm headed. Is that where I want to go? Taking back control over your life and deciding which one is going to serve you, your family, and your goals most effectively. I sure love you guys, and I'm always cheering you on.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Busy Brained Saint podcast. If you're eager to explore the world of ADHD coaching, make sure to connect with me on Instagram at Camden_ADHD or visit my website, CamdenADHDCoaching.com. For more LDS-specific ADHD content, don't forget to follow this podcast and join us on Instagram at TheBusyBrainedSaint. Listen, I'm here to support you on your journey. I cannot wait to have you as a part of our community. Stay engaged, stay inspired, and remember, you're not alone here. Thanks for being a part of the Busy Brain Saint family.